This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. It's 11 o'clock, and it's time for Kenai Garden Talk. I'm Jenny Nyman. Despite the continuing clouds and rain, June is here. That means the spruce bark beetles are out and about doing their destructive thing, but there are ways you can protect your trees from infestation. Coming up after that, farmers might be off to a slower start with the cool weather, but farmers markets are in full swing. We'll visit the Farmers Fresh Market at the food bank, complete with a workshop that grows future gardeners. But first, wild plants sometimes get a bad rap. When they're pretty, they're called wildflowers. But usually, when they're in our gardens without being intentionally planted, they're weeds. And if they're especially tenacious, they might get called even worse. But how often do we look at them as food or medicine? Tia Hawley is an ethnobotanist and works in the wellness program at the Denaina Wellness Center in Kenai. She's getting a master's degree in indigenous plants used for food, medicine, and utilitarian purposes.
The main goal was to preserve traditional knowledge, and one of the things that has affected the knowledge from being passed on is people moving from their traditional village to go to cities to get jobs.
Hawley has experienced that in her own family. Her mother was raised on King Island in the Bering Sea. The residents hunted and made use of whatever they could in the environment. But in the 1900s, the Bureau of Indian Affairs shut down the school on the island and sent the kids away to the mainland. Eventually, the island was abandoned. When her mom was an elder, Hawley took her back for a visit.
We had went berry picking, and my mom, she was in her 70s then and had both of her hips replaced, and we kept saying, we need to stop picking berries. We didn't stop. We picked berries for hours, and she was in so much pain that night. I found somebody was selling some salve that had wormwood in it, and it worked. It worked. She was able to sleep. And that's when my aunt, when we were leaving, she said somebody had given her a bunch of wormwood. She didn't know what to do with it. She called it stinkweed and just remembered having to drink it when she was sick as a kid and didn't like the taste. She sent me home with that and said, you make some. And I said, okay. Yeah, because you say, oh, yes, I'll do that to your aunties. And I got home and I called her up and said, well, how do I do that? And she said, I don't know. You figure it out. So there wasn't any place to ask how to make traditional medicine.
Where that knowledge does still exist, it might not be compiled and easily accessible. Hawley says that we're lucky in the Cook Inlet region because we do have some excellent plant resources. Hawley especially likes Denaina Plant Lore by Patricia Russell and Discovering Wild Plants by Janice Schofield. And if you check out this show on kdll.org, you'll find a list of other books and resources Hawley recommends. The Kenaitse Indian Tribe is working on preserving and sharing this knowledge as well. There's a new high tunnel at the Wellness Center filled with indigenous plants that were traditionally used for food and medicine. There's an open house and blessing for the greenhouse from 1 to 3 p.m. June 20th. Or, of course, the beauty of wild plants is you can go harvest them yourself. A couple of ground rules, though. First, know what you're picking. Bring a plant identification book, use the many nifty internet resources available, or tag along with someone more experienced while you're still learning. Second, be aware of land ownership. If you want to harvest on private land, and Native Corporation land in Alaska counts as private, ask permission first. If it's public land, research if there are any rules regarding harvest. For instance, on the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, you can harvest plants for personal use, but you can't use what you pick for commercial purposes. Third, harvest respectfully. Don't take so much that you kill off a patch of plants, or don't leave any for anyone else. Hawley says to only take a third of what's available, and if you're young and fit, leave the more accessible spots for people who aren't as able to walk a little farther. Okay, that's how to pick. Now, what to pick. Looking through Hawley's eyes, a walk around the Wellness Center is like a trip through the grocery store.
One of the most revered plant is actually the spruce tree, and right now is the best time to get spruce tips. Looking around my yard, the older trees are taking a little longer to get their fresh, kind of lime green looking real soft spruce tips, and the smaller trees have them already, and you just pull the spruce tip off, kind of shake it up a little bit in the wind to get the little brown protective piece of plant off of your spruce tips, and you can dry them and use them for teas. The elder Sharon Isaac had made some spruce tip shortbread last year and shared that with us, and that's been one of our favorite things to make. It doesn't take very much spruce tips. It takes a lot of butter and flour.
Well, how could that be bad?
Yeah, and it was one of our most favorite things to eat, and it's safe. You're not going to confuse a spruce tree with another plant. The plantain that you see, there's some right here that grows in people's lawns that they try to get rid of it, and actually it was used for years, the seeds from those plants, like Metamucil. So there's a lot of things that plants have been used for over the years by people from around the world. One of the other uses is that it can heal wounds. I have read a lot on that. The one problem is that you want to make sure that the wound is clean, because it will heal the skin faster than normal. And if it's dirty, you can heal your skin over an infection. And then one other plant that is real easy to identify is yarrow. And that was used even in the days of the early Greek people when they were fighting with swords. Yarrow will stop bleeding. So if you ever cut yourself, you can use the leaves or the flower, any part of the plant. The leaves would be more comfortable on your skin to help stop bleeding.
Just kind of mush them up and put them on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. For the poultices, the old-fashioned recipes that still work today, most plants, you can, if you're using it as a poultice to put on your skin, you just pick them one day, let them wilt overnight, and then you can heat them up in some warm water or crush them and then put them on your skin if you're using it to heal your skin. There's some chocolate lilies, and I was able to try some of those. An elder was looking at them the other day, and she said they called them stink lilies because they are some of the worst smelling things on the planet. But
they're pretty from afar, though.
They are pretty, and the other nickname for them is wild rice. Instead of a bulb, it's got a bunch of little bulbets that look like rice. That was one of the things that Priscilla Russell shared with me at one of the plant symposiums that we went to, and we actually dug some down at her property. And you just soak them. They're a starch. You soak them in some water for a little while, drain that off, soak it again, just to get some of the bitterness out of it. And if you have enough of them, you can eat them just like a bowl of rice. And this year, once you recognize one of them, she said most things like the roots or stems, it's either in the spring or in the fall. And I think this is one of the ones that you can pick in the fall. So you just want to make sure that that's what you're getting. I don't think there's too many things that look like chocolate lilies, and the little bulbs when you dig them up are unmistakable.
That's a good point, though. Plants look different throughout the growing year, so it's probably helpful to know what they look like before they flower or before they bud or after they are done blooming for the year.
Yes. And there's, some plants that you want to keep an eye out for when they have flowers, and then if it's, on your property, you can put a marker there. So if it's something that, like fireweed shoots, a lot of people like to eat those in the spring, but there are some other plants that are poisonous that, a lot of plants look like little fireweed shoots when they're first coming up. So make sure you have your patch marked and that there's no poisonous plants in your fireweed patch. And then the next spring, you'll be ready to pick up the little shoots and put them in a salad.
So one way of harvesting these is to just, go for a walk. Again, make sure you know what land you're on and you're following the rules. So if you know enough, you could go out and pick things. If maybe you're not quite 100% sure you're getting what you want, I guess if you plant them yourself in your yard, then you're going to be a little more confident that you're getting what you're intending to get.
Yeah. And fireweed seeds, I've started to see quite a few different wildflower seeds beyond forget-me-nots. So you can get that. One of the biggest edibles or most prolific edibles around is dandelions. Mm-hmm. Most people don't mind if you pick all their dandelions, but just make sure that it hasn't been sprayed with chemicals, or if you spray anything and you're on your road and you push the snow up onto your lawn, try not to pick where there might have been chemicals from ice melt or anything.
Right. And picking by a road, you're going to run into more dust and grime and other stuff anyway, that why wash it off if you can avoid most of that?
Yeah, yep. But I do not like the dust. But yeah, the dandelion blossoms, that's another one of our favorite recipes. It's a great thing to do with kids. I just pick them when they're open and they'll close up, and then I'll sit down to watch a movie and cut off the little green part on them and just take the petals. And you can dry them then, or freeze them, or use them fresh in a salad. They really don't taste like much of anything, but the muffins, it makes them nice and fluffy. It's a little bit of work to separate the petals. I do cut off the end. I had somebody saying they were just pulling the petals out and they still turned into seeds, because dandelions are pretty tenacious.
Right.
Yeah, but if you cut off the bottom green part, it's a lot easier to get the petals off the whole flower. Dandelion greens, and I've seen dandelion green tea around, is in Genesis book, she says it's a really good spring tonic to make tea out of that. And like most plants, when their leaves are really small, it's not too bitter, so they're really good in a salad. And I've actually debated, I found a seed company that has a couple different kinds of dandelions.
You're going to plant dandelions.
I'm thinking about it. But yeah, I one of the classes I decided, I like lattes. I learned that you can make like a coffee type drink from dandelion root.
Oh.
So while everybody out was getting all the leaves and all these flowers and everything, it took me 6 hours to dig up enough roots from the wild. And then I had to clean them and put them on a cookie sheet and dry them, and then I had to crush them, and I got one shot of espresso. So
was it good enough to be worth all of that effort?
No. And that is one of those things that you can order, or you can purchase dandelion roots already processed. Somebody was telling me you can grow them pretty easily in like in a box garden. Mm-hmm. And have really loose soil if you want to use the roots. And the dandelion plant has a lot of different nutritional value for different parts of the plant. I know, even though the blossom is my favorite, it's not the most nutritional part of the plant. The roots and the leaves have a lot of good things for you. But the blossom does have vitamin A in it.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
And anything turned into a muffin is usually going to be pretty good.
Yes. And nettles, I have people that are more than happy for me to come and pick those. Those are some of the favorite foods of the foodies that I know. I'm not so much into eating things that taste like spinach, but those, it's one of Janice Schofield's favorite plants, but they have a massive amount of vitamin K in them.
So horsetail is another one you see an awful lot of around here, and I've heard that there's uses for horsetail.
We made some toothpaste with young horsetail, and then up north, they'll eat that brown shoot that comes up that I think of as the horsetail flower. It just looks kind of like a messed up asparagus. Mm-hmm. And it's brown. And she takes off the flower head and then pulls back on the little black stem parts that are around it. And then it, to me, it tastes just kind of like a mushroom, you know, like a mushroom stem. We pickled some. So that was kind of cool. And this year, there's some huge horsetail. There's still, you could still probably find some of the horsetail shoots like that around. Other people will use the green part when they're young and their leaves are pointing straight up. It's best because it does have silica in it. When they start to open up and start to look like a Christmas tree, they've got too much silica in them to be safe. That's another thing that I've seen at at the store is people will get horsetail supplements because the silica is supposed to help with your hair and your nails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And there is something called mare's tail that can be confused for horsetail. So mare's tail is poisonous, but it grows in water. It looks like horsetail, but it doesn't get as fat and fluffy as horsetail.
I heard that's, in a pinch, a helpful way to wash dishes in the bush, too, if you're out camping and run short on supplies.
Yes, yes. And yeah, any size, but especially if its leaves are spread out, it'll definitely be very coarse. Wild geranium, you can eat the blossoms. I haven't tried the leaves, but that has been growing everywhere in the last few years. Should we talk about pineapple weed?
No, we should though.
And you can eat the whole thing. It is related to chamomile. So if you dry the plant material, you can use it as a tea. Just know it could make you a little bit sleepy. You can put the leaves or the little flower heads in a salad if you like. And I use it in a lotion. It's soothing.
And I think the Cooperative Extension folks would tell you that that's an invasive plant for this area. So well, probably yeah. The more of that you pick, no one would get too upset about that.
But this one, bluebells, you can eat the flower or the leaf. And people that have tried the leaves say they taste like one thing or another.
Okay.
Would you like to try one?
Sure.
Yeah. You can just take a bite out. There's a bruise on that one, but hopefully it still has.
I'm almost getting like a briny, like kelp sort of flavor off of it.
So people either think it tastes like fish or cucumbers.
Fish or cucumbers.
And there's a sister plant to this that's in the same plant family that looks like a bluebell that has fallen down that grows along the coast. I was Googling that and found out in Europe that they've wiped it out along the beaches because people like it so much. And that beach form of bluebells, they call it oyster leaf.
Oh, okay.
And it does taste like oysters.
Interesting.
But it looks just like this plant, but it just grows along the sand because of the wind and it getting swept around. Some of the more common plants, violets, or I call them violas. There's wild violas. Most of them, you see them purple. So we have several different kinds of violets around here. The Athabascan name Priscilla has in here is from the Upper Cook Inlet, and it's Tisaduya. But you can eat the flowers and the leaves of the wild violets. She told me last year that she was told like 6 viola leaves give you all the vitamin C you need in a day. And I can show you a very nice patch of violets. But here is a nice little patch of violas.
Oh yeah.
It's just that they're almost done blooming. And so if you do find some of these in your yard, or if you have a friend or a neighbor or relative that's clearing some land, I would check it out. A lot of things, if you get enough of the roots, you can transplant them and they'll be happy. And just kind of notice the violets tend to like to be under the trees a little bit, so they're partly sunny. And then there, of course, there's violets that grow by streams that might like a little bit more water. But yeah, you can try one of the leaves or one of the flowers if you like.
Pretty mild. Mm-hmm. Doesn't taste like much.
No, but the wild plants have a lot more vitamins and minerals in them than most of the plants at the grocery store. Because to think if 6 viola leaves has all the vitamin C you need in a day, that's a lot less than, what do you need, like 4 oranges or 8 oranges? Yeah.
The flower has a little more flavor to it.
The flower does?
Seems like it. That's still not, I can't imagine anyone finding that offensive. That's not a real strong flavor.
No, I'd eat that in a salad.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, it's real mild. It's not bitter. It doesn't have any kind of weird kale taste.
It's not a cucumber or fish dichotomy.
Yeah.
Thanks to Tia Holly and the Denina Wellness Program for the information. You can find links to more resources on this show's page at kdll.org. Do you want to try spruce tip tea or shortbread? Then you need your trees to survive the growing spruce bark beetle infestation. We'll have ideas on how to protect your spruce trees coming up next.
Hi, I'm Sabrina.
And this is Vivian.
And we're the staff of Northern Lights Therapeutic Tape Advantage in Kenai at 610 Atla Way, Suite No. 4, 907-690-2010. We will be donating 30% of our proceeds from now until June 30th. And we would like to encourage other businesses to participate with us in a challenge to help raise money for KDLL programming. We are asking that businesses donate a percentage of their proceeds up until June 30th. And the public can come by the businesses and purchase goods and services for KDLL programming.
KDLL has until June 30th to meet our federal match requirement. Thanks to Northern Lights Therapeutic Tape Advantage for helping us get there. If your business would like to participate, give us a call at 283-8433.